the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And this week we are launching our new mission statement, and that is to be a blessing. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Abram was blessed to be a blessing. If you are a Christian, you are intended to be a blessing wherever you are, whatever you may be going through. God strategically places his body, we being the members of that body, throughout the world population for just such a purpose, and that is to be a blessing. Listen, and all Abram was told that because he had been blessed, that he was going to be a blessing to all the families of the earth, and that blessing is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who blesses us with the wonderful opportunity of having repentance. But we want to be a blessing. And so if you all wouldn't mind helping me out, because we want to give some practical tools that you don't hear us talking about this on the radio program much, but if you wouldn't mind emailing us, it would be greatly appreciated. Of two things: one, how have people blessed you in your life? And second, how are some of the ways that you have blessed other people? And, you know, a lot of times we don't necessarily look at it and analyze it and count it the way that the old hymn Count Your Blessings talks about. But I think if we did, we would be a lot more aware of the opportunities that we have. You know, I posed this question to some people in a Facebook group that I belong to, and surprisingly, one of the things that they said had been a blessing as far as the body of Christ was just that there was someone from the church that was present during a very difficult season that they were walking through. And everybody has that skill set. If you know somebody who is going through a time right now where there's people isolated because of sickness and disease, can't get in to see them, sometimes people have passed away, you can be there not to lecture or anything like that, just to be like Jonathan, who came to David when he was running from Saul. David was running from Saul because Saul was trying to kill him. And Jonathan came in and helped him find strength in the Lord. What a blessing. And so you will often hear me say things like, I do not see how people survive without being part of a Christian community. There is a network there that God has put in place so that we are not facing our struggles alone. So I shared on Sunday morning this week a couple of statistics that I ran across. I believe it was last week. There was a little, it wasn't a scientific survey, it was just an input survey. And it said only 5% of adults in America are attending more than one worship service a week. And you say, well, this is the coronavirus season. You know, there's not as many opportunities. Well, they're still online. So they had a follow-up question. It said, how many of you have attended an online religious service during this season? And that number only reached 37%. Okay. And so you could look at that and you could see it as a very discouraging number. I told our church that our online views are anywhere from 3 to 4 times as much as what they've normally been during this time. And you could look at it and say, wow, that it's kind of discouraging that two-thirds of America is not turning to God during the season. But I also want to frame it this way. What an opportunity. If you think that you're going to run into someone and know they're not going to be there, or they're not going to have any need for you to share Jesus, I want you to know the need in America is great. I've heard people say that America is the second largest mission field in the world. I don't know how they come to that statistic. I've heard it said it doesn't compute logically in my head, but I have heard that statistic. And so I just want you to know that the opportunity to be a blessing to someone spiritually or financially or relationally is a great need. And Merit Assembly God, we're going to launch that that mission statement this week. So we'd love to have you come and join us for our 9:30 a.m. Sunday school, our 10:30 service. So we would love to see you there. So I want to take you this morning to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 14. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because we have already talked about this when we were going through the Lord's Prayer. In verse number 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Verse number 14 says this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So today we are not going to be talking so much about the forgiveness that is available for you and I, but we are going to talk about, are we practicing forgiveness? And it's very, very important, because if we do not extend forgiveness to other people, then we are our forgiveness is going to be withheld. Even though it is available, it will not be appropriated to us. It will not be dispensed to us, because we have not duplicated the act of forgiveness that has been bestowed upon us. So, If you go back to the end of 1 Kings, you are going to find that even though Ahab was a wicked king, that God still had a heart that he wanted to forgive him. And even after Naboth's field Naboth was killed and his field was taken because the king wanted it for himself. He wanted it for a different purpose. But for Naboth, it was his inheritance, and Jezebel scripted and orchestrated his false charges being placed against him, and Ahab went down to take possession of the field, and Elijah met him there, and Ahab had a serious moment of repentance in his life, to the point that God tells Elijah, "Have you noticed how Ahab has repented before me?" And so all of the things that Elijah had said were going to come upon Ahab, God said, those aren't going to happen in his lifetime. They're not going to happen to him. But then you get to the end of 1 Kings, the last chapter, and all of a sudden, all of the things that have been said about Ahab that they weren't going to take place, they take place. And you have to say, well, what happened? Well, by the end of the end of 1 Kings, Ahab has reverted all the way back to his Baal idolatry and persecuting the church and all. He had gone back. He was no longer being the blessing to his constituents that he was supposed to be. He was leading them astray, and he ended up suffering the consequences from it. You see, forgiveness is not just supposed to change our spiritual status. Forgiveness from God is supposed to change the way that we interact with other people. Now, here is the reality. You and I have done horrible things against God. We have. It's not something to be boasted of. It's not something to be celebrated. It is just a statement of fact. And Jesus, in his love and compassion, came, died on the cross so that we could have our sins forgiven. We also live in a fallen world. Yes, Jesus came to redeem us, but the world itself that we still live in is a world of fallen people spiritually. As a result of that, the farther we get away from God, the more likelihood that there is going to exist, the greater the percentages, the greater the occurrences that fallen people are going to hurt, offend, trespass, and in bondage other individuals. Okay? It's not something to be celebrated. It is something that has to be acknowledged, that we live in a fallen world and that there are going to be people who offend or sin against or trespass against other people. So God, through Jesus' words here in Matthew chapter 6, says, if you forgive, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So the condition is not placed upon God. The condition is determined by our behavior. And so those trespasses are, most of the time, they're going to be involuntary. They're not going to be intentional. They're going to be unintentional. Sometimes there are going to be people who do things against other people intentionally. And if you go back to the book of Numbers, you are going to find that intentional versus unintentional are dealt in two entirely different ways. As Christians, we are supposed to be exhibiting the nature and the behavior of God. And so any offense that we have against people it should be unintentional. We're not looking at a way to go out and offend other people. And I will tell you this, not every time that a person is offended was it because someone offended them. Sometimes it is a person's perception. You've heard the saying, perception is reality. Well, I want you to know that is not necessarily the case. Sometimes you could perceive something that is incorrect. It wasn't, it happens all the time. Well, I saw that look that you gave me. So I'll just tell you how my wife and I deal with that. I am a person with very little control over my facial expressions. All you've got to do is look at a history of photography where I think I am standing there and I am relaxed, smiling, and taking a wonderful picture, and the picture comes back and it shows one of two things. Either one, I look like a deer in headlights because my eyes are wide open and I've got this goofy look on my face, or the second, my eyes are 75 to 100% closed and I look like I'm a drug addict on a week-long drug binge. I am just not naturally a photogenic person. My wife is, my kids are, my grandchildren are. My face didn't get the memo. And so if you ever see a really good picture of me, it is a miracle. You have just seen a modern-day miracle, let's put it this way. It's a very rare occurrence. So celebrate it if you see it. So a lot of times when we were very early in our marriage, she would say, well, I saw that look that you gave me. And I said, what look? I didn't have anything going on. It's just my face being my face, doing whatever it is supposed to do. And so we said, you know what? We're going to grant grace to one another to allow us to regain control and composure of our face. So, you know what? We've saved a lot of disagreements and arguments and moments of intense fellowship simply because we said, you know what? Rather than be offended because what I'm perceiving that person means by that face, I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to allow them to exert control over their face so that I'm not offended in the process. Choose not to be offended. Choose not to be offended. So, if I asked you a question, how many of you want to be forgiven? The answer would be all of us. We all want to be forgiven. And so for that to take place, we have got to be people who extend forgiveness. So if you go over to Matthew chapter 18, you will find this story. It says, then Peter came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Now, I want you to understand, we look at that and see it kind of ridiculous, but if you look at it, Peter is being very generous. You know, he's saying, I'm not only going to give him a second chance, I'll give him a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, a seventh chance. And most people have already said, you know what, this person's never going to change at that point in time. And so I'm just not going to extend forgiveness. But Peter had already heard this sermon. There is no escape clause here. There is no statute of limitations that says, no, once you've sinned against me that many times, it is not available. And some people even conclude that this was how many times a person could sin against an individual in a day. So let's look at verse number 22. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one who was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Those words sound familiar. That's because that's exactly the same thing that this person had told the lender that he owed 10,000 denarii to, or 10,000 talents. And he would not, and he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my Father, my Heavenly Father, also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So the first thing that I want to share with you from this story about forgiveness is the debt that we owe God because of our trespass against him is a debt that is beyond repayment. 10,000 talents. A talent was equal to about 75 pounds. And he owed 10,000 of those. So that would be 750,000 pounds. Now, if that's of gold, you know, you factored in 1,200, I think it's more like $1,500 to $1,700 an ounce, depending on the day right now, sometimes $1,800. And there's 16 ounces. It's a lot of money. You know, you're talking national level type of debt. And this person said, you know what? If you'll just be merciful to me, I will repay you everything, because the master was wanting to have him sold. his family sold, his children sold, all everything that he owned was to be liquidated till he could pay his debt. And then he would, if the debt wasn't satisfied, there was no bankruptcy court. They would throw him into debtor's prison, and you don't get out of that because how are you going to earn money while you're in a debtor's prison? It was just a hopeless situation. And the person begged for mercy, begged for patience. And it says, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. You see, when we do not forgive, it is because we have refused to operate from the same mindset that God does, and that is he operates with compassion. He is moved with compassion. Compassion compels action, is what it was. And he loved this individual so much that he was willing to wipe the slate clean from an insurmountable amount of debt. Here's what I want to tell you. Our offense against God, the things that we have done against him, is far greater than anything that other people have done to us. Instead of 10,000 talents, the person that this forgiven man had that owed him money owed him about 3 months worth of resources. Now, I don't know about you, but I would feel pretty good. A denarii was a day's wages, a denarius, denarii being the plural. And so he owed him about 100 days. So, I mean, almost 3 months worth of wages. I would feel pretty good if all that I owed was less than 3 months wages. I would feel really good about that. That is not the case. But I mean, that's a manageable level type of debt. And modern standards are for lenders, they try and keep things under 3 years worth of debt. So that would be 1,000. So he's operating well within financial margins of understanding today. But this person that had been forgiven so much was unwilling to extend forgiveness to a person who owed him just a fraction. And people saw the way that he was not forgiving and went back and told the master who had forgiven him everything, and the master reinstated everything that was owed him. And Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So I went back and I looked at the meaning of the words, and I will just tell you this. This word forgive means to send forth. It means to send it forth. Unforgiveness is, I've heard it described as being like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness will rob you of your spiritual health. Unforgiveness will steal from you your relational health. And unforgiveness can even impact your physical health. It can impact your finances. And so I want to encourage you today, not just from the eternal perspective of your sins being forgiven, but also from the perspective of right now. We cannot afford not to forgive people. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness. Bitterness disqualifies from ministry, and it will kill you. It will deprive you of the blessings of God. And so one of the things that I ask people, I'm not accusing them, I'm just asking them, I'm presenting them with the query, they've got to make the decision themselves, is if they are experiencing some negative impacts in their life and there doesn't seem to be any sort of breakthrough in that area, a lot of times I will ask them this question: are you harboring any unforgiveness in your heart? And I'm not saying that as a person who's never done it. I'm saying that as a person who has done it. You see, forgiveness has to be sent forth, and it's got to come from the heart. It can't just be a superficial thing. It has to be birthed in the heart. It says here, also will do to each of you if you do not from his heart forgive his brother his trespasses. That doesn't mean it's never going to cross your brain again, but every time it comes to your attention, you send it forth. You send it forth. And so several weeks ago, a person that I've forgiven, it came back to me and said, you know what? God is looking for me to send that forth on a permanent basis, not on a temporary basis. I need to send it forth. And so I was looking for a way. How could I communicate to you about the importance of forgiveness? How do we send it forth? What kind of mindset? And it's like this. I don't want to harbor anything against anybody. I'm not looking for a quota or anything like that. I don't want anything hindering the forgiveness, invalidating the forgiveness that Jesus wants to bestow upon me. So for about the past year, maybe 2 years, there has been a new bug that has shown up in our community. I've seen it all over the place. Now, I want you to understand we have professional pest control at our church. So our building is taken care of so that any bugs that come in, they're not going to thrive very long, and outside they're taken care of as well. But there are these little, like, long roly-polies, what I call them. You know, we had roly-poly things. Our pest control guy says that there's some form of caterpillar, but they love to migrate inside our building. They not very big, so they can go places that other people can't. And every time I see one, I don't have to go over and squash it. I look at it and I say, you know what? It doesn't belong here. And so I will take a little piece of cardboard and I will sweep it up onto the piece of cardboard. I'll open the door and I'll send it back out to the atmosphere it's supposed to lie in. Now, I don't know if any of the men appreciate that, but the ladies sure appreciate the church being a bug-free zone. I want to encourage you to do the same thing with any offense that you might be harboring. Say, Jesus, I send that forth from my heart. It doesn't belong in my heart. I don't want it to hinder my relationship with you, and I don't want it to hinder my relationship with them. And so I'm sending it forth to forgive them in Jesus' name. You'll be blessed because of the forgiveness you extend. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The way you sing, the rising sun, awakening the early dawn. Rising up to give you praise. Lord, we will sing the stars and moon. See how they shine for you. And you're calling us to do the same. So we rise up with a song, and we rise up with a cry, and we're giving you our life.